Jesus Christ. Amen. The portion of Scripture for our meditation this evening is recorded for us in the Gospel of St. John, chapter 15, beginning with the first verse. I am the true vine. My Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself, and must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If a man remains in me, and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. Dear friends in Christ, if you were creating this Lenten series and were trying to come up with a theme and a text for Maundy Thursday, you would have had plenty of different options. Perhaps you would have gone with the Garden of Gethsemane or the Garden of Prayer, since it was on late Maundy Thursday, that Jesus and his disciples went to the Garden of Gethsemane so that Jesus could pray. Perhaps you would have gone with the Garden of Forgiveness, since it was on Maundy Thursday that Christ instituted his Holy Supper through which we receive the forgiveness of sins. Maybe you would have done something with that word Maundy, which comes from the Latin mandatum, and it means command, based on John 13, which you can read on page 2 in your bulletins. What is, you would have a number of different options. But you probably wouldn't have gone with the Garden of Good Works, which we have before us today. But as we see, it is actually appropriate for Maundy Thursday. First off, Jesus spoke these words to his disciples on Maundy Thursday. They were some of the last words that Jesus shared with his disciples. Words of comfort before he was going to die in a few hours. Words of encouragement before he left them for good. That encouragement was to teach his disciples the proper place of good works in the lives of a Christian. And that's a reminder we need each and every day of our lives. Now Jesus said in verse 4, remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself, and must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. The analogy, of course, is simple. In order for fruit to be produced, that fruit needs to remain on the branch, and that branch needs to remain connected to the vine or the main part of the plant. For it is from the vine or from the plant that the branch, and thus also its fruit, gets nutrients. Without the vine, the fruit doesn't grow. A branch cannot bear fruit unless it's connected to the vine. And the same stands for producing fruits of faith. You cannot bear fruit unless you are connected to the vine, who is Jesus Christ. It's impossible for you to do anything pleasing to God if you are not part of his vine. That's what Jesus says in verse 5. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Nothing. Nothing pleasing to God, nothing good in his eyes. Everything you do apart from God is worthless. The writer to the Hebrews says a similar thing in chapter 11. He says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. The unbeliever may do the exact same thing as the believer. And yet what the unbeliever does is wicked and detestable in the eyes of God. The believer who is attached to the vine produces good fruit. And the unbeliever, no matter what he does, produces bad fruit. That's because the unbeliever is motivated by the love of Christ. Everything he does, is done out of love for Christ. Because Christ gave up everything for the believer will give up everything for Christ. He loves Christ just because Christ first loved him. And Christ's suffering and death leads the believer and motivates the believer to obey him. So the believer is motivated by the gospel. He's not motivated for selfish reasons. He doesn't obey God's word so that he can impress others. He doesn't do good to others in hopes that it might come back to him. No, the believer obeys the Lord because it's what his Lord wants him to do. And he willingly and cheerfully does it out of love and thanks without expecting anything in return or trying to earn his own way to salvation. But that's not true of the unbeliever. Now, it may not appear so, but everything the unbeliever does in one way or another is done for selfish reasons. An unbeliever does good because it's expected of him, because someone forced him into it. An unbeliever does good because people will notice him. He does good to others in hopes that it might come back to him. He does good because it makes him feel good. Nowadays, you have people talking a lot about paying it forward, doing good to others, do something nice every day. I recently read an article about a mom and her son who do a nice deed every day. They try to pay it forward. And what was their motivation? Because it makes them feel good. A selfish reason. Ultimately, the unbeliever doesn't do what he does out of love and thanks for Christ. So no matter what he does, it's a sin in the eyes of God. And the only way that what we do is good in the eyes of God is because they have been washed by the blood of Christ. Recall what Isaiah says in chapter 64 about our good works. He says, "All of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous acts are like filthy rags." Everything that we do, by its very nature, is a sin. That's because it's done by sinful human beings. Even our best is sinful. Even our best and greatest works are detestable in the eyes of the Lord. And yet they remain washed in the blood of the Lamb. He makes our actions acceptable to God. He washes away our sins. So it is because of him and in him and through him that we are able to produce fruits of faith, good fruit. But that can't be said of the unbeliever. Now we receive the forgiveness of sins through faith, and the unbeliever doesn't have faith in Christ. So the unbeliever does not have his fruit washed clean by the blood of the Lamb. Their actions remain filthy rags. What they do is detestable in the eyes of the Lord. So an unbeliever cannot produce fruit. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. So the garden of good works begins and ends with Jesus Christ. So he must be connected to the vine, Jesus Christ, in order to produce good fruit. So what do we as Christians do? Well, we remain connected to the vine. For it is through the vine that you are fed and you're nourished. And how do you remain connected to the vine? Well, by getting into the means of grace. It starts with remaining connected to His Word. And to remain connected to His Word is more than worshiping Him on a Sunday or even less than once a week. It includes reading the Word at home. It includes studying the Word in Bible class. Because you are only fed, you are only nourished by the vine as long as you are connected to His Word. And if you only attend worship every so often, and that's the only time you are being connected to the Word, then you're only being fed a few short times a month. Now, getting into the Word should go without saying. As a Christian, you want to remain connected to the vine as much as possible, for it's through the vine that you are fed and nourished. You would never go a day without feeding yourself with physical food, so why would you want to spend even a day without feeding your soul with the spiritual food by being connected to the vine? Should go without saying. But sometimes I feel as if I repeat myself and say the same thing over and over, that I'm beating a dead horse. There's a reason for that. In this day and age, we have a lot of things that vie for our attention. And often God and His Word lose out. We often want to be more connected with our friends or our family than we are with God and His Word. We're often more involved with our jobs or the activities of our kids than we are God and His church. And before you know it, we're not connected to the vine very often, and our fruit doesn't look all that good. So we want to get connected to the vine as often as we can. But even if you're connected to the vine, that doesn't mean you are going to automatically produce good fruit. Now, in a garden, you can do all the right things. You can have the right soil and all the right nutrients in the soil. You can water it perfectly, get the right amount of sun. You can do everything right. And a plant still might produce bad fruit. Same thing stands for us. We can be connected to the vine. You can receive that spiritual nourishment through the means of grace on a regular basis, and yet you still produce bad fruit. We fail to obey God's law. We fail to honor His will. Our works often aren't good, but they're bad. Our fruits of faith are often rotten, because they're not fruits of faith, but fruits done for selfish reasons. And what do you do with bad fruit? We throw it out. It's worthless. No one wants to eat bad fruit. You can't do anything with it. So you get rid of it. And we hold the same view for our sins. You want nothing to do with the rotten fruit. You want nothing to do with your sin. And get rid of them. Flee from them. And cling to the true vine. In other words, you repent of your sins. And turn to God. And then, in this way, you are pruned by God so that you can produce even more fruit. As Jesus points out in verse 2. He, God, cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. Well, every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. And when we fail to bear good fruit, we turn to the Lord and His holy sacrament. And we receive the fruit of the vine, the wine in the Lord's Supper, which is in, with, and under the blood of Christ. And together with the body of Christ, which is in, with, and under the bread, we receive the very thing that Christ gave up and shed on the cross. Through His Holy Supper, He gives us the forgiveness of sins, and also with the forgiveness of sins, life and salvation. It is the Lord who freely forgives us. Through Him we are made clean. As He tells us in verse 3, "You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you." Jesus has paid the price for our sins. He has turned our rotten fruit into good fruit. He gives us His true body and blood for the forgiveness of our sins. He makes us pure and holy in the eyes of God. And that motivates us to produce even more fruits of faith. You may have not picked this text or picked this theme for Maundy Thursday, the Garden of Good Works. Yet it is very fitting. For we need that daily reminder and encouragement to bear good fruit. And that begins and ends by being connected to the vine through the means of grace. For it is through that vine that you, the branch, and your fruit are made pure and holy. Amen. Please stand. Now the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.